This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy from the Hitting Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All right, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. Morning.
Good morning.
So, can you tell me, is it four times that you yourself actually met with Lindsay or more?
Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry. Was it four times that you actually met with Lindsay or more? And that would include telehealth.
Four.
Four yes. Times. Okay. You met with her on the 2nd of December, right?
Yes.
And you met with her on the 12th of December, is that right?
Yes.
You met with her on the 19th of December, right?
Yes.
And is it the 27th as well? Was there another one? Do you remember when that was?
That was by phone.
By phone. And would that be the 27th?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is give you the documents that the district attorney is questioning you from, just so that you may have them in front of you, okay?
Thank you.
And you can slide up and just...
Yep.
And if I get confused or something, just let me know that you're on a different page than me. Couple of background questions. When you met with Lindsay, for example, on the 2nd of December, you were at least able to look at the records of Nurse Paul as well as Nurse Gelada, right?
No.
Oh. I mean, you guys work in the same place, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when a woman is in postpartum and comes to Social Health for help, when you're trying to help them, you can't see the medical records from what the other people like Nurse Paul and Nurse Gelada have written down?
You can see the records, yes.
You can?
Yes.
Okay, so you did look at the records.
I did not look at the records.
Okay. On the 2nd of December, you can look along with it if you wish, looking under what would be referred to as behavioral health intake. Your pages are numbered, mine are not, so if you can find that one page. Behavioral health intake on December 2nd. And the jurors will have this as an exhibit, but just going through the pages. You have it?
1 second. Yes, I have it.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you would be interested in when you're interacting with a patient that comes to your facility for help is how honest they are, right?
Yes.
Especially in psychiatry. You want to make sure that the person is not lying to you or hiding something. You want them to be honest, right?
Yes.
And, for example, Lindsay disclosed to you and to the others that back in 2012, while she was in nursing school, she actually had Prozac because she was very nervous, actually, about public speaking. But she was on Prozac, right?
1 second.
Sure. I think it's right under behavioral health history, first paragraph.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And she also told you that she had been prescribed Ativan, for example, by psychiatrist Jennifer Tufts, right?
Just reviewing.
Second paragraph.
So, no, that's not what I see here.
Okay, do you see where it says prior to attending the SHORE program? Sentence, second paragraph?
Yes.
Patient was prescribed Ativan by psychiatrist Jennifer Tufts?
It says here she was prescribed Zoloft.
Well, I must be misreading something. I apologize. Let me approach you. This is what I have here. History and current functioning, right? History and current, okay. And then behavioral health history, paragraph one, right? References to Prozac, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But it doesn't say... You said Dr. Tufts.
No, I was saying the second paragraph, prior to attending SHORE program, she disclosed to you that she was prescribed Ativan, right?
So which one are you on?
Second paragraph, right here.
Okay.
Yep. Prior to attending SHORE program, patient was prescribed Ativan, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that was by Dr. Tufts, right?
Yes.
So she told you that she was prescribed benzodiazepine by her treating psychiatrist, and further on into your interaction with her, she told you that she was very concerned about taking medication, right?
Yes.
And she was really concerned about becoming addicted to medication, such as a benzo like Ativan, right?
She was concerned about becoming addicted to medication, yes.
All right. In the very last paragraph, it says, when no longer taking Ativan. You see that one?
Yes.
Okay. She then explained that, you know, she had issues with the sleep, and she started having heart palpitations, and she went to the ER for anxiety. Is that right?
Correct.
And at that time, she told you that she felt that she had an addiction to Ativan. That's why she couldn't sleep, right?
Yes.
And she was stressing about that, was really concerned about that, right?
Yes.
She then said that she had weight loss, right?
Yes.
No appetite, right?
Correct.
Panic attacks, right?
Right.
Couldn't sleep, right?
Yes.
Next page, December 2nd, office visit, the same visit. First paragraph, she was prescribed Remeron and Seroquel in the past 4 days, right?
I'm sorry, this is a different date on this one. What date do you have?
Okay. So the next page. Yeah.
Fine, it goes to 12.5.
Okay. All right, let's look at this one then. Is this, would you agree that this is a record from South Shore Health that talks about continuing your appointment December 2nd?
Yes.
Okay. If you can find it.
I think they were just out of order. Here it is.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. No, so far. It's not your fault. So are you with me on that? That she was prescribed Remeron and Seroquel?
Yes.
Okay. And that was within the past last 4 days. Is that right?
Yes.
So when you saw her on December 2nd, after telling you about the Ativan and telling you about her weight loss and her anxiety and everything else, she told you that she had been prescribed Remeron and Seroquel. And I understand you don't do the drugs, so you don't really have...
No, I don't do medication.
Very difficult to get the brand names and the other names, and it's, but we have a chat for that. So she started Remeron and Seroquel, and then she told you that since starting the medication, she's had thoughts that she no longer wants to be here, meaning, I guess, what, on the earth?
No longer wanting to
herself?
Be here. Could mean anything, but in that instance, when assessing for suicidal ideation, no longer want to be here qualifies as passive suicidal ideation.
Okay. And then she indicates further that this week, she was seeing you, feels like she's going to die. That's what the DA read to you, right?
Yes.
But then it goes on and says, but she doesn't care if she dies, basically. She feels like she's going to die, but she doesn't care. She said that, right?
Yes.
She then talked about how the Remeron and Seroquel were not helping her sleep. Yesterday she took Ativan, she told you, right?
Yes.
Due to intrusive SI, suicidal ideation thoughts, right?
Yes.
Did she indicate what the intrusive suicidal ideation thoughts were yesterday, which would be December 1st. Did she tell you what that meant? Did you ask her what she meant by that?
I did ask her what she meant, and that would mean that she had the thoughts that she told me about no longer wanting to be here.
Okay. And you then told her that she could go to the ER, and that you then sent her local crisis contact information. Is that right?
Yes.
And then talks about onset. Says 3 months after the baby was born, she had unmanageable anxiety, correct?
Correct.
And what did she tell you the anxiety was about?
1 second.
Yep. It's under onset.
And what was the question?
And to onset, she indicated 3 months after the baby was born, she had unmanageable anxiety, is what
yes.
the district attorney asked you. And then it continued on with a sentence. What was her anxiety about?
About her children, especially the baby.
And what is she? What does that mean, that she was having unmanageable anxiety? Do you know, what does unmanageable mean?
So constantly worried that something was going to happen to her children or something bad was going to happen to the baby.
And at that time, the children were 4, 3, and 6 months, right?
Correct.
Under social, the notes indicate that she reported she talks about her anxiety all the time with her mom, husband, and mother-in-law, correct?
Correct.
And one of the questions the DA asked you is about her support, family supports, or collateral contacts, and you indicated the mother-in-law. She also had her mother and father as family support as well, right?
Correct.
And you knew that her mother and father had actually lived in Connecticut, but moved up or came up and stayed with her for at least a week, if not longer, during December, right? If you know. And I know it's difficult if it's not in the notes for you to remember. I'm just asking, do you remember at all that she said that her mother and father came up and stayed with her to help out?
I don't remember that.
Okay. She further went on and said that she's uninterested in other topics from friends. What did that mean? She just didn't want to talk to her friends about anything?
She just had a lack of interest in conversation with friends.
And that would be her social circle. She just didn't care, right?
Right.
She said that she felt numb, right?
Yes.
She had a lack of attention, right?
Right.
Confusion, right?
Right.
Under mood, it says, well, of course, you have disturbed sleep. She's only sleeping 2 to 4 hours a night is what she told you, right?
Correct.
And then it says supports. Mother and father have been staying with her for the past week. Does that refresh your memory that you did get that info, that they were staying with her for the past week?
Yes.
That's fine. I just saw that too, so no
yes.
problem. You took her history, that she was a nurse, that she had been on leave, and she told you that she lost 10 pounds in the past month, right?
Correct.
Now, can you flip to the next page and make sure we're both on the same page? And the substance use assessment, do you have that?
1 second.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that you're concerned about is whether or not your patient has a substance abuse problem, like drugs or alcohol or something like that, right?
Correct.
And you've already told us that your opinion was that Lindsay did not have any substance abuse problems other than her fear about the prescribed Ativan, right?
Correct.
So did you ask her about alcohol?
Yes.
Can you tell me what she said about alcohol?
She said the last time she drank alcohol was in October of 2019.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Did she tell you how much, what it is that her alcohol of choice was?
She said her alcohol of choice was wine. She would have 1 to 2 glasses.
Did she say why she would do that?
To cope with anxiety.
Okay. And this is back in 2019, right?
Correct.
That would be 3 years before you actually met with her in December of 22, right?
Correct.
Cannabis, the
yes.
weed, the devil's lettuce. How about that? Did she confess that she was using marijuana?
Yes, she said she did use marijuana.
When?
Last use was November 15th, 2022.
Why?
I'm sorry?
Why did she say that she used it? It's under comments?
Yes, I'm taking it.
That's okay.
She said she tried a marijuana gummy to help with sleep.
And that was on November 15th of 22, right?
Yes.
Go to the next page, assessment and recommendation. If you have that, make sure we have it.
Let's Yes.
Okay. And I think the district attorney had asked you about the mental status exam facial expression, and you indicated that her facial expression showed anxiety, right?
Correct.
Fear, right?
Yes.
Do you know what the fear was?
Just going back to that part of the assessment.
Sure, yeah. It's under facial expression.
And you said facial expressions,
yes,
right?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Anxiety, fear, apprehension, sadness.
Okay, so if I can, and I apologize. If you just keep your voice, you're very soft-spoken.
Yes, I'll walk.
Voice up so the jurors can hear you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you said that your facial expression exported to you anxiety, right?
Correct.
Fear of something, right?
Yes.
Apprehension, right?
Yes.
Sadness.
Yes.
Depression.
Yes.
And she expressed that she was having anxiety and numbness, right?
Yes.
And she was crying when she was telling you this, right?
Yes.
And again, indicated that her thoughts were worried about her baby, the new baby she had, the infant, as well as if she's being addicted to Ativan, is what she told you, right?
Yes.
And again, thoughts of wanting to die, but there was no plan.
Correct.
Next page, risk assessment. There's a whole lot of stuff on it, these pages. I'm just trying to cut to the chase here. So you see where it says risk assessment?
I am trying to find
okay.
it. 1 second.
Yep. Under a current medical, I'm sorry, it's under a risk assessment.
I'm taking a look.
Okay.
I see protective factors, but I don't see risk assessment.
Okay, let me ask you, under risk assessment on December 2nd, when you asked her about that, so at that point, did she, just so you can see, did she again admitted to suicidal ideation, right?
Yes.
It was passive.
Yeah.
It says to go to ER if she feels unsafe or has a plan, right?
Yes.
And then farther down, you have current medications, and she was on quetiapine or Seroquel, right?
Yes.
Fluoxetine or Prozac, right?
Correct.
Lorazepam or Ativan, right?
Yes.
Mirtazapine or Remeron, right?
Yes.
And they were all, that was all active prescriptions that she had on December 2nd, right?
Yes.
Told you that she is seeking counseling for postpartum anxiety, right?
Yes.
Do you have on December 2nd, continuing on with your evaluation, where it says clinical notes, do you have the clinical notes?
1 second.
What I could do is read what I have, rather than stand next to you, and if you trust me that I'm not misrepresenting it, I mean, I'm just reading off of this to make it quicker for you, if
okay.
it refreshes your memory. If it doesn't, I can walk up and show it to you, okay?
Okay.
On that date, your notes say, patient requested addiction support services. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And that you indicated that you would be sending patient addiction support resources by my chart, or the message thing, right?
Correct.
You then indicate that, based on history reported, patient meets the criteria for postpartum anxiety, right?
Yes.
That she would benefit from OP therapy. What does that mean?
Yes, from outpatient therapy services.
Okay. PHP?
Yes, partial hospitalization program.
IOP?
Intensive outpatient program.
And that you then helped her out by bridging the therapy services, right?
Yes.
You then noted again postpartum anxiety on December 2nd, according to your notes, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you know that she had been seeking and receiving therapy? I don't know if that's it's therapy or counseling or that type of thing. Like there's a woman that works in your business that provides therapy, right?
Yeah, so that person would be me.
So did she come to see you for therapy?
Yes.
How many times?
4.
So is it fair to say that she was more than willing to accept help from somebody like you?
Yes.
She didn't appear to be avoiding any therapy when recommended, right? If you could, Ms. Dukes, please look at, I think it was December 12th, was the next time perhaps that you saw her?
Okay.
Unless it's there's another intervening period.
So here's December 12th, and then there's December 5th.
Oh, okay. So if you could pull out December 5th.
Yes.
And if I can come up and look at it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
All right. So on December 5th, again, you were meeting with her for therapeutic intervention, right?
Yes.
And on this occasion, she reported she had a difficult weekend, right?
Yes.
Intrusive thoughts of wanting to die, right?
Yes.
That she contacted Aspire Crisis Support, right?
Yes.
She met with an Aspire clinician, right?
Yes.
And what happened when she met with the Aspire clinician?
She met with the clinician virtually and was told that she did not meet the criteria for inpatient treatment due to not having any suicidal ideation plan.
So if she said, in addition to the fact that she's been in counseling and therapy and seeing psychiatrists and on medications for the past 3 months or whatever the period ultimately would be, and that she wanted to kill herself, didn't want to be here, couldn't care if she died, they told her because she didn't have a plan that they couldn't help her?
Correct.
Did they, to your knowledge, make any recommendations? Or did they recommended that she attend a day program?
Yes.
All right. And that person from Aspire then said he would send her patient resources, right?
Correct.
But nothing ever happened. He never sent her any. You did, but he never sent her any patient resources, right? If you know.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right, so she had you at least to talk to and counsel and advise her. You continued on to make your observations. She had to say that pretty much things stayed the same as far as her appearance, appearing anxious, appearing sad, unable to relate to people, that type of thing.
Correct.
Okay. Then you have... is a chief complaint of present illness. And again, that was... No, wait a minute.
That's not my note.
That's not you. Okay. All right, so you can hold on to that.
Yep, yeah, thank you.
Next time you saw her would be December 12th. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, on December 12th, that was a teleconference that she had called in, by an appointment with you?
Yes.
And at that point, this is she reported that she had a difficult weekend and was experiencing intrusive thoughts of wanting to. Do you have it in front of you? I don't want to take advantage of it.
Hold on one second.
Yep.
I don't see the 12th in here.
Okay. Page 28. And just for the record, I think, Your Honor, that she's looking at the actual exhibit. Am I right? That's the exhibit? That's in evidence? No, it's not. Okay. Can it be in evidence? Can I offer that? Yeah. Okay. Can I offer that?
Any objection?
On the issue.
Sure. Yeah. Man, if I could just say that.
So, do you have December 12th? Yeah. again, I could do what I did before.
She probably had it before.
Right, yeah. It references providers' interventions, and that would be, would that be you, provider?
Correct.
Okay. And you're talking about symptom management, and yet again, she's reporting she had a difficult weekend, experienced intrusive thoughts, wanted to die, didn't have a plan for suicidal plan, but she contacted crisis over the weekend, and that would be, again, Aspire, apparently, right? Because there were two times she contacted Aspire, not once.
Correct.
Twice. Both times they told her that there's nothing they could do for her, right?
Correct.
And she told you that she was going to start a PHP in Norwell on December 20th, right?
Correct.
But in fact, you were able to, knowing people that you may have and pull strings, you were able to try to get her into the Rhode Island Women and Infants program, right?
Correct.
Which is a really pretty good program.
Correct.
And did you know that she did, in fact, go to Women and Infants on December 20th? She didn't go to the Norwell program. She went to Women and Infants program, and that she was there for the day, and that they basically turned her away.
I did know that she went to the Women and Infants program. I was not sure of the date.
Okay. So if I suggest to you, it was the same date that she had told you that she was going to go to the program in Norwell on December 20th, and then that you and Nicole Harden Francis reviewed various options, one of which was that, which made sense, to attend the Women and Infants program, IOP or PHP program, right?
Correct.
And that she, patient, provided you with verbal consent.
Correct.
To sign whatever had to be signed and get her into that program, right?
Correct.
So you know that she did, on December 20th, after not getting anywhere with Aspire times two, and after dealing with Jalada for all those times that she dealt with her, I'm sorry, the other one, Tufts, you were trying to get her into this program, which would be pretty good for a woman that had postpartum problems, right?
Correct.
And you made your referral, you opened the door for her, and she got in there to at least be interviewed, right?
Correct.
And they didn't take her, right?
Correct.
You know why?
I am not aware as to why.
Would you be surprised if I told you that they indicated that they could not help her out because their diagnosis or secondary diagnosis was that she was over-medicated?
Repeat the question.
Would it surprise you to know that they indicated that they couldn't treat her as a woman with postpartum psychosis or postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety or any of that because their opinion was that she was suffering from an over-medication?
It would surprise me, yes.
But you don't know?
I do not know.
Okay. Did you know that the records from Women and Infants indicate that, in fact, on that very same day, they reached out to Nurse Jalada and asked her to call them so that they could discuss the medication, and Jalada never got back to her?
I was not aware of that.
I'm sorry?
I was not aware of that.
Okay. I think the district attorney had asked you a question about the last time that you saw her or had any activity with her was on December 19th. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And I may have misunderstood. Did she ask you, did you call Lindsay four times and she never got back to you that day? Or is that just a list of different things that you did for her?
That's a list of different things that I did for her that day.
Okay. So you were calling other contacts. You were talking to Patrick. You would contact her. I mean, she certainly was not avoiding you. That's
yes, sure. We were in communication.
All right. You're familiar with, maybe you are, the what's called the Edinburgh scale?
I'm aware of it, yes.
And did she have the Edinburgh scale administered to her, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay. What is polypharmacy? What does that mean?
Polypharmacy?
Yeah. You ever heard of that, polypharmacy?
I've heard of it, but not sure of the exact definition.
Okay. Is it something to do with having too much medications thrown at you all at once? If you know.
No, I'm not sure.
Not sure, okay. Excuse me for 1 minute. apologize. I just had something pulled up and it just went back to default on me, so I just need a second. I apologize. Okay, I get it. And how long have you been working in your particular field?
Since 2011.
Okay. And you have, obviously, a very impressive background as far as your educational background and your experience. Do you continue to, like, with continuing education?
Yes.
Have you ever been aware, are you aware of the Mass General Hospital Center for Women's Mental Health?
I am aware of it, yes.
Do they offer seminars and programs as well as research articles?
I believe they do.
Okay. Do you know that Mass General Center for Women's Mental Health about a year ago issued a fairly major study and various recommendations for people that are dealing with women that have postpartum periods and how they break up the periods? You familiar with that?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
So if I suggest to you that in that particular Mass General Hospital article, it goes on about postpartum period, and is it, do you agree that the postpartum period, 85% of women that are pregnant experience, or after pregnancy, experience some type of mood disturbance? Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't agree with that.
All right. Would you agree that 10 to 15% of women develop more significant symptoms of depression or anxiety?
I agree.
Okay. And then postpartum psychiatric illness is then divided into three categories. One sounds like something out of the 50s. Postpartum blues. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
You've heard that expression before.
Correct.
Right? And that's, it can be bothersome, it can be aggravating, it can be intrusive. But it's not threatening the life of the mother or baby or anybody else, right?
Correct.
And it's fairly common, right?
Correct.
Number two would be postpartum depression. Now that's a different issue, correct?
Yes.
And number three would be postpartum psychosis. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Now, postpartum depression, prior to morphing, if you will, into postpartum psychosis, consists of a number of symptoms, symptomology, right? For you to diagnose a woman, whether she's pregnant, has a baby, or after having the baby, with postpartum depression, there are certain things that are symptoms that you look for, right?
Correct.
Okay. One of which would be depressed or sad mood, right?
Yes.
Lindsay had that, right?
Yes.
Next would be tearfulness, right?
Yes.
Lindsay had that, right?
Correct.
Next one would be loss of interest in social activities or usual activities or friends. She had that, right?
Correct.
Feelings of guilt. She had that, right?
She didn't express feelings of guilt.
Okay. Feelings of worthlessness. Did she express that she felt worthless?
She did not express that.
About fatigue, did she have that?
She did not express fatigue, but lack of sleep.
I know, lack of sleep. Were you aware that, in fact, that she had indicated that she was so wiped out that she couldn't even get out of bed, couldn't put her feet on the ground, and if she did, she felt heavy?
I did not hear that from her.
Okay. How about, you mentioned it, you got it, sleep disturbance is another issue, correct?
Correct.
She had that, right?
Yes.
Change in appetite, she had that, lost 10, 15 pounds, right?
Yes.
Poor concentration, she had that, right? She said she was numb. She could not focus. Suicidal thoughts?
Yes.
We know she didn't have a plan, but she had suicidal thoughts, right?
Correct.
So under the Mass General Hospital research project for women that are suffering from postpartum issues, she pretty much hit every one of the postpartum depression symptoms, correct?
Correct.
And then it talks about if it increases in severity, significant anxiety symptoms may occur. Not generalized anxiety. Significant anxiety symptoms can occur. Is that right?
Correct.
And one of the ways that you determine that is by the test that it can be administered to a person who is in a postpartum status, and that would be what we talked about, the Edinburgh test, right?
Correct.
And you're aware that she was given the Edinburgh test and had a 23 out of 30, I think it was.
I was not aware.
Okay. And some women develop panic attacks referred to as hypochondriasis. You'd agree with that, right?
Agree with that in reference to...
Lindsay, she had panic attacks and complained of having panic attacks.
Yes.
Okay. And then you can get into the various diagnoses of which on a postpartum person in that time frame, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, right?
Correct.
Or bipolar 1 or bipolar 2, right?
Are you using them interchangeably or could develop?
Trust me, let's say bipolar 1.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be one mental disease, correct?
Correct.
And it's pretty serious stuff, right?
Yes.
And if a person is diagnosed as bipolar, one of the things that you shouldn't, if you know, is prescribe SSRIs such as Prozac or Zoloft, right? If you know.
I'm not sure of that.
Okay. Would you agree that with various cases dealing with postpartum depression, all of the symptoms that we talked about, they utilize the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale, which is a 10-item questionnaire that can identify women that have postpartum depression and the severity that they have. And on the scale, the score of 12 or greater it raises concern and indicates a need for more thorough evaluation, right?
Correct.
Do you know whether she was thoroughly evaluated by anybody other than Tufts and Gelada?
I'm only aware of Tufts and Gelada.
Okay. I mean, you were trying to do the best you could with what you had to work with, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now we get to postpartum psychosis. That's the third category, right? Postpartum psychosis, you'd agree, is the most severe form of postpartum psychiatric illness. Is that right?
Correct.
Would you agree that it occurs in averages about 2 out of 1,000 women, right?
Correct.
And its presentation can be very dramatic with onset of symptoms, and that can be within a year, according to the CDC, Center for Disease Control,
yes.
Right? Okay. And when it hits you, it just hits you, bang, quick, right?
Correct.
And when you think about 2 out of 1,000 people, seems like a daunting number, but if I tell you that Fenway Park, when they're full, when they're playing the Yankees, they have 37,700 people. If you take the 37,000 people and you multiply it by 2, that would mean as you're sitting there behind first base, 74 women possibly have postpartum psychosis, right?
Not sure of that number, but...
Well, if you agree that it's 2 out of 1,000, according to the studies and the statistics, and if Fenway Park has 37,000 seats, times 2 would be 74.
Okay.
That's a pretty large number of people, right? 74 people out of that crowd? Okay. It's not that horribly unusual. I mean, it's something that perhaps you've dealt with in your practice, right?
Yes.
And when you're dealing with people with postpartum psychosis, do you agree that generally they present with an episode of bipolar illness? If you know.
No.
No, they don't, or no, you don't know?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Bottom line is, from your dealing with Lindsay, she appeared to be sincere, right?
Correct.
She appeared to be looking for help, right?
Correct.
She appeared to be hurting, right?
Yes.
Turning in every direction she could for help, right?
Correct.
And the last time you saw her was when?
December 19th.
OK. Okay, thank you very much.
Attorney Buckey.
Briefly, please. Ms. Dukes, you indicated that you didn't review the records of Nurse Paul or Nurse Gelada.
Correct.
Why?
I wanted to have a fresh set of eyes to look at the situation and to assess it when she came in for her visit. That's typical practice.
And that's why you do an entirely new process, right, where you do your own intake, you assess diagnostics for determining whether there's any sort of mental illness, right?
Correct.
And while you you can collaborate or speak with the providers about an overall treatment for the patient, your therapy is your therapy.
Correct.
And as far as your role, you don't have any role in medication management, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. And so when the note read current medications, is that just based on what pre-fills for the patient based on their historical records for the clinic?
Yes.
Okay. And so you don't know what she was prescribed and when and if all of those prescriptions were active. You just know what's in the computer.
Correct.
And as far as the timeline here for the recommendations for partial hospitalization, I just want to make sure that we're clear. You had been for some time recommending some sort of partial hospitalization program, correct?
Correct.
And on December 12th, you had already talked to Lindsay Clancy about the Women and Infants program, had you not?
Correct.
And so when she told you on the 12th that she was starting that program in Norwell, that wasn't from your referral, right?
No.
And you still recommended Women and Infants?
Correct.
And you got her consent on that visit, right?
Yes.
And on the 19th, when you saw her, were you aware that she had been at the Mass General ER on December 15th for evaluation?
No.
And that she had reported then to them that she opted for an outpatient program at Women and Infants as opposed to going inpatient to McLean? Did you know that?
I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. And when you met with her on the 19th, after the visit to the ER, she still hadn't engaged with Women and Infants, had she?
No.
And so you had to re-refer her?
Yes.
But you weren't aware that she had already gotten a referral from Mass General?
No.
And so you did later learn she went on December 20th, correct?
Correct.
And were you able to review those records about this visit to the 20th? So you don't know that the ultimate plan and assessment for her was that they didn't think she qualified for the program, but they provided her with several options for other inpatient treatments for medication management, partial hospitalization, and general mental health. Did you know that?
No.
And as of your last meeting with her on December 19th, ultimately, what were your impressions of how she was doing?
My impression was that her symptoms were improving because of the social aspect, spending time with family and friends and able to exercise when before it was difficult for her to engage or pay attention.
And your observations of her while you were interacting with her, were they more positive than on previous occasions?
Yes, she was able to smile and laugh.
Okay, thank you.
What was she laughing about? When was it she was laughing with you?
I believe that was the last visit, the 19th.
So on the 19th, it was on television or was it in person?
It was a virtual visit, a video
virtual visit.
Yes.
And on the 19th, on the virtual visit, what was the purpose of that visit?
The purpose of that visit was to see if she was able to connect with care.
Okay. So you would have, I guess, in your notes or a reference to the fact that on the 19th of December that she was laughing.
Not that she was laughing, but that she was able to laugh.
Able to laugh.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm looking here on December 19th, telemedicine, Letitia, I apologize, Dukes, perinatal behavior health program, and you talk in that form about the date of the service, December 19th, psychotherapy, PCP, Margaret, that would be the primary care, Margaret Anastasi. Perinatal behavioral health program, you talk with the quote, if this is telehealth visit, please dot the phrase, video visit, whatever. Therapeutic intervention, she's 32 years old, married, female, presents for postpartum anxiety. Symptom management, patient continues to have low mood and numbness. Numbness. Was she laughing when she had numbness?
What date are you looking at?
December 19th, the last day you saw her, or the last time you had any contact with her.
She didn't appear to have that, no.
She didn't appear to have what, laughing or numbness?
Numbness.
Well, it says right in the notes, does it not, that patient continues to have low mood and numbness?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want you to say yes unless I show it to you, so right here. Patient continues to have low mood and numbness, right?
Correct.
Patient has not had suicidal ideation and did not need crisis intervention over the weekend. In other words, she didn't kill herself, right?
Correct.
To help with the mood, patient has been spending time with her husband, children, and exercising, right?
Yes.
And exercise is one of the things that you would generally, your people would generally recommend that the mother do, right?
Correct.
That's a good thing to try to do, is to exercise, right?
Correct.
So if the fact that the government has records that show that she would take her kids or her husband would take her kids, that they would go to a local gym and exercise or swim, that's consistent with what she was advised, right?
Correct.
It doesn't mean that she's just out there having a good time exercising, right?
Objection.
No, overall.
She was told that that's a good thing to do, right?
She was told that that was a good thing to do, but the fact that she's able to follow through and do it shows improvement.
Oh, okay. So when did she go to the gym?
She didn't give me exact dates. These are things that she told me she did.
Did you ever ask her? If you're telling me that, you know, this is showing improvement, is it in the records? Does it indicate that you asked her if she was exercising, and if so, where and when?
So we don't write down everything that we talk about in the meeting. It's particularly a summary of that visit.
Okay. And all I did was ask you about the patient was spending time with her husband, children, and exercising, and then you said that that's an indication that she's improving.
Correct.
Okay. And then I asked you if she's going to a gym. That's not a bad thing, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. And then it says that she received a call, and counsel asked you about this. She received a call from women and infants, but missed the call. Do you remember that? Remember the DA asking you that question? You said that she missed the call.
Yes.
She didn't continue to read that the reason she missed the call is that she was at another medical appointment, right?
Correct.
And she called you back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Clinician, you provided contact information for women and infants. Patient reported that she would contact them today, being December 19th, but in fact, she did, and you did with, she, back it up. She did with your help, and she then went the following day on the 20th, right?
Correct.
Okay. And finally, fair to say that nowhere in here does it say that she was laughing?
You would have to go to the assessment, the risk assessment.
Okay. Got it? Let me see, please. Okay. Now, what's a mental status exam?
So a mental status exam is to assess how the person is appearing that day, their mood, and their interaction with you in that visit, and how you perceive them.
Okay. So, with the help from the DA, we have December 19th, the telemedicine form, clinical notes, right?
Yes.
The laughing wouldn't be in that area, would it?
No, it would be more so in this area.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Mental status exam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Appearance, hygiene, WNL.
Within normal limits.
Okay. Clothing normal, eye contact normal, build normal, posture normal, body movement normal, right?
Yes.
Behavior is cooperative, right?
Yes.
And speech is within normal limits, is that correct?
Correct.
Emotional state. Affect. Patient reports feeling numb and having low mood for most of the day, right?
Yes.
Facial expression. Other. Facial expression. Calm. Was able to laugh and smile, right?
Yes.
Would that be in response to you saying something funny, or why was she laughing?
That would be in response to me saying something funny.
So you guys were kind of bonding a little bit.
Yes.
All right. But she basically still continued to report that she was numb, having low mood, and basically the symptomology that she had already reported, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
All right, Carmel.
Nothing further. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you. You may step down. Thank you. Come on, you want to call your next witness?
Come on, also call Cameron Daly as its next witness, please. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony and the evidence you shall give to the court and the jury in the matter now pending between the Commonwealth and the defendant's court and in the truth of the help you God? Thank you, sir. You may have a seat.
Watch your stuff, please.
All right. Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Buckingham, please.
Thank you. Sir, could you please tell the jury your first and last name?
Cameron Daly.
And how do you spell your first name?
Cameron.
And can you just spell your last name for the record?
Daley.
And where do you work?
Duxbury Police Department.
How long have you been there?
6.5 years.
And back in January of 2023, what was your assignment then?
Patrolman.
And I'm going to draw your attention specifically to January 24th, 2023. Were you asked to do a particular assignment out of Duxbury in that evening?
Yes.
And what were you asked to do?
Report to Brigham Women's Hospital.
And why were you going there?
For hospital watch of the suspect.
And that individual was Lindsay Clancy?
Correct.
Was there already a Duxbury officer on scene at Brigham and Women's when you got there?
Yes, two.
Two?
Yes.
And who were they?
Officer Lepard and Officer Broderick.
And when you arrived at the Brigham and Women's Hospital, were you by yourself or was there somebody else with you?
I was with another officer, Officer Thomas Johnson.
Okay. And were you able to make observations of the suspect, of the defendant, Lindsay Clancy, on that day?
Yes.
And she was asleep, was she not?
Correct.
And she had medical devices attached to her?
Yes.
Was she being treated by the medical staff there at Brigham?
Yes, periodically.
Okay. And were you inside or outside the room, if you know?
Outside the room.
And were any visitors or any other people other than the medical staff in that room with her while you were there?
No.
And from the 24th into the 25th, what time did you leave the next day on the 25th?
So I reported to the hospital on the 25th.
Oh, okay.
I was there. I arrived at 10 a.m.
So your shift there at the hospital was what?
I got there at 10 a.m. I left about 7 p.m. that night, but it was an 8 to 4 scheduled patrol shift.
Okay, and you said that was on the 25th?
Correct.
And you took over for Officer Lepard?
Correct, who were there on the overnight previous.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. And when you left that next evening on the 25th at 7 p.m., was there another Duxbury officer who came to relieve you, or who came to relieve you?
No, at that time, State Police Detective McDonald arrived on scene with his crime scene team, and then Plymouth County Sheriff deputies came to take over the hospital watch.
And during that entire shift that you were there, were any attorneys or any other individuals in the room to see Ms. Clancy?
No.
And did you go back to the hospital for any shifts after that day?
No.
Thank you. Nothing further.
All right.
Were you in uniform?
Yes.
Had your gun on?
Correct.
Had your badge?
Yes, sir.
The other guy, too?
Yes, sir.
You were going to what, guide the woman that was tied to the bed?
Correct.
Probably have.
Anything?
Nothing further.
All right, thank you, sir. Let me step down.
Thank you, Your Honor.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsey Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.